Hello, and welcome to the first real edition of the He's Going Back podcast, hosted by me, Jamie. Today's person of interest is Jackie Robinson. Today I'm going to take you back to April 15th, 1947, where Jackie Robinson officially broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. So for Jackie Robinson on that day, I imagine he had a lot of things going through his head. Imagine him, very emotional day. He didn't really perform that well, but I don't think it really matters. There was bigger things going on at the time. He went 0-for-3. He made it to base in the 7th on an error. He scored the go-ahead run. So, it was productive, but a little lackluster. But that's okay. There were 26,000 fans that attended that game in Ebbets Field, Brooklyn, New York. He played for the Brooklyn Dodgers his entire career, which lasted 11 years. And, I mean, he's one of the best baseball players of the time and pretty much of history. I mean, he's up there. His career was shortened because he didn't get to start till he was 28. I mean, most guys are, people say they're winding down. I mean, he played till 37, ending with a career WAR of 63.9. That puts him 151st in MLB history in only 11 seasons. He has the highest WAR by a player with only 11 seasons. There's a guy continuously playing. Mookie Betts does have a higher WAR and has played 11 years. But that is it. I mean, guys that have surrounded him. Willie McCovey is just above him. And he played 22 years, ending with a 64.4 WAR. Now, WAR, you can argue, is a made-up stat, but I think it's just a good judgment of who these players were and where we can kind of put them in. Obviously, Jackie Robinson did way more for the game of baseball than Willie McCovey. Not to discredit Willie McCovey, but I think you could argue no one's done it anything bigger than Jackie Robinson. Some guys right below him in WAR, just to give some reference, Bob Feller, who played 18 years in the big leagues, had a 63.4. I mean, these guys are incomparable to what Jackie Robinson did on the field and off of it. In his 11 years in the big leagues, he made 7 All-Star appearances. He won the MVP in 1949, only 2 years after breaking the color barrier. There was a few years of looking into that you could argue he should have won again, but times were different back then. And I noticed that looking at some of the years, I agree that I think he was snubbed or robbed of an award. I look at 1951. There was a pitcher, and he just kind of was there. He didn't have no stats that blew me away. Didn't do anything special, but he won the award. I don't know how they valued things back then or what they were doing, but there was better players that should have got that award and didn't. Looking back on his career, it was amazing to see what he accomplished in such a short amount of time, and kind of past his prime. I mean, he went to WAR. It was around World War II. He got discharged. But, I mean, we missed out on prime peak Jackie Robinson on the field, and it's amazing what he was able to do. A career average of .311 batting average, 137 home runs, 734 RBIs, and 197 stolen bases. Mind you, didn't start till he was 28 and played till 37. I mean, that's not, you look at guys today, I mean, they're starting at 19, 20. To start at 28 and be what he was on the field is amazing. Off the field, just as amazing for the African-American community and civil rights and everything that we already know about Jackie Robinson is amazing. It's mind-blowing in this day and age to even think about what he had to go through and what he was doing and dealing with. But I think it's important to look back, and I understand why MLB retired his number throughout the sport. He deserves it. No one else can deny that. No one else deserves that. There's one of one, and it was Jackie Robinson. I mean, his grandfather was a slave. His dad was a sharecropper. I mean, if you look back in history and how atrocious both of those things were and the ugliness of it, it's amazing. it's amazing what he was able to accomplish. He went and got a full ride to UCLA for sports, varsity lettered in four of them, which that's insane. I mean, it is amazing what you can accomplish if you put your mind to it and have the drive and initiative, and especially with the odds stacked against you. I mean, they didn't want him to play in the league. They didn't want him anywhere. He got kicked out of the Army just for arguing where he was sitting on a bus. I mean, those are privileges that we all take for granted today. I mean, here's a guy that got kicked out of the Army because he wouldn't move to the back of the bus, and he wasn't even supposed to. He didn't have to. But a racist bus driver told him he had to, and there he goes, out of the Army. And playing baseball in the majors wasn't the only first he did for African Americans. In 1962, he became the first African American inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. In 1965, he became the first TV broadcaster for the sport and did it well. He, by all accounts, he was a professional and did his job right, as he would. I mean, no one back then, I imagine he had some haters, but that's okay. He showed them all wrong everywhere. I try to put myself in his shoes at the time. And I just, it's hard to, obviously. I don't think I'd be able to handle it the same way he did. I mean, the words that must have been said to him, the things thrown at him. I mean, anywhere you went traveling with the team, you couldn't stay with the team. You couldn't eat at the same places as the team. You were an outcast on your own team just because you couldn't be around them. It wasn't their fault or his fault, or it was just the way the times were, right or wrong. Reading his biography, I never had it made. I encourage anyone to read it. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, just trying to find a place to live and grow his family was difficult. I mean, he was a big leaguer. Communities were begging for people like that to come, except for him. Being the only reason was that he was black. And they didn't want that in their community. He had to send his kids to all white schools. I mean, his kids were breaking color barriers in communities. I mean, they were the first. I mean, they went through it too. And his dad, being who he was, had to be tough on them. But you had to do what you had to do. And they have a wonderful foundation now that they run and operate. The other tragedy is, he died when he was 53. He was in 1972. I mean, that would have been a great person that probably possibly would have been around. And he wasn't even that well-liked when he got into the league. I mean, you had players bad-mouthing him, saying he couldn't last, he wasn't going to be able to hit, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. And he proved them all wrong. And they had to eat crow. And that's what it is. And as you can see today, the league is diverse, and Japan players are the rage. They're all over and performing well. Obviously, the number one in the sport is Shohei Ohtani, and it's hard to argue against that. And I don't think any of this stuff would have been possible if it wasn't for Jackie Robinson and setting that example of performance, etiquette, and everything. I mean, it was everything. He was everything. It's crazy to find a man that was willing to put up with what he put up with. That was able to back it up on the field. In the middle and the end of the career, he talked about how he didn't really put up with the crap anymore. He would talk back. He would argue with the umps. In the beginning, he couldn't. Because that would have been, they were looking for any excuse to kick him out of the league and prove that they were right. That African Americans didn't belong in the league. That's a lot of pressure on one person. I mean, it was one person's job to show them, to lead the way. And that to me is mind-blowing and courageous by Jackie to do this. And obviously, he couldn't have done it himself, but I mean, he needed the help of the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers and some other high-profile figures to even let him show up. So let's talk about on the field a little bit, just because I think off-the-field stuff and what he has done has been covered a million times, and I think we forget just how good he was. And that's the part that let's look into a little bit. I had brought up his WAR and how he did it in 11 seasons. I'll tell you some plate appearance numbers. So with his 63.9 WAR, he accomplished that in 5,941 plate appearances, which is no small number. But so Paul Goldschmidt, who's currently in the league, he's the closest to breaking that 63.9 WAR that Jackie has. Paul Goldschmidt is currently sitting at a 62.8. He's been in the league for 14 years with 8,292 plate appearances. That is just absurd. He hasn't reached Jackie Robinson status with 2,300 plate appearances more. I mean, that's absurd. It is crazy. I mean, this dude could absolutely play defense, hitting, base running. The stolen bases, 200 almost after the age of 30 is crazy. I think that was the part that surprised me the most was the ages he did it in. I mean, if he would have had a normal big league career, didn't have to play in the Negro Leagues, didn't have to go to the Army in war, which I know all players of the time had to deal with that. But, man, that is crazy. At 28, to be putting up these numbers and playing till 37. I mean, look around the league. There's not many players around playing past that age at a high level. Which, whatever. People have done it. People have. But the conditioning was not the same that they do now. The nutrition is not the same. I mean, it was a totally different ball game. But he did it. And did it well. He helped lead the Dodgers to their first World Series victory in 1955 against the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees of this time were absolutely insane. They won every year. They were the best team. So to beat them was a huge success story. And Jackie Robinson was a big part of it. The Yankees dominated New York. They were in the same city, but it was the Yankees. And it's pretty much still a Yankees town. Maybe Juan Soto helps move it to a Mets town, but I doubt it. He won the Rookie of the Year in 47. I was kind of surprised to see that. I just, in my mind, went to, I can't believe they let him. I can't believe they were willing to give him that award. So the stats for the Dodgers that year, or Jackie's stats, 29 stolen bases, 12 home runs, a .297 batting average, .383 on base, .427 slug. I mean, he played. That was a good year. First year in the big leagues. I'm just surprised that they allowed it, which is sad to say, but it was true of the times. From a WAR standpoint, his best years came after 30. A 9.3 WAR season at age 30 and 49. A 9.7 WAR season in 51. That's the year he got snubbed. I think they didn't care about stats back then because that dude absolutely played his butt off. I mean, he had a .338 batting average, a .429 on base percentage, a .527 slug, a .957 OPS. I mean, those stats are insane. And there's no reason he should have lost. Or even, he got sixth in MVP voting. It wasn't even like he got second. Now, Stan Musial got second, and he absolutely had an insane year. And really, I would say he deserved it. But for our sake, Jackie Robinson got snubbed. So for a 162 game average, a 7.3 WAR, 16 home runs, 87 RBIs, 23 stolen bases, 86 walks, a .313 batting average, a .410 OBP, a .477 slug. This dude played the lights out of the place. So I'll leave you with some final words. Jackie Robinson was an absolute baseball player. He was also one of the greatest civil rights leaders and backed it up. He didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. And I think we all owe a lot to him. Of any race, of anything. I mean, it is what it is. It gave us players that we wouldn't have got. They had their own league. And that's just not right. But I'm thankful for it. I think everyone should be. It should be well known. And I am just happy that I'm around today that I can sit here and type some things on my computer, so that I can pull up a game on my phone. The other thing I like to do is after I finish an autobiography that I've read, I like to buy a graded sports card of the player. I just like to see it, hold it, check it out. Jackie Robinson cards are a little hard to come by, so I did buy a reprint of his famous 1952 Topps card, and it's in a grade 8. Future episodes will probably go similar. I'm hoping they'll be a little longer. I just wanted to, you know, dip my toes in the water, see how it went, see how, figure out some editing, figure out sound quality stuff. But format will probably be a little bit different in the future. I just wanted to start with Jackie Robinson. I think he's important, and I think everyone should hear about him. Not that anyone that's into baseball doesn't know who Jackie Robinson is, but if not, hey, here's a little bit about him. Here's my 2 cents about him and what he did. Thank you, and see you next time.